In the last video, we looked at how traffic optimization works. You learned the difference between topic and interest targeting, and more about a few traffic methods. In this video, we'll look at what you need to do to get visitors into your sales funnels. There are countless different sales funnels, and it's unlikely that you'd only have one of them. I'll have a few examples of different sales funnels and how to lead people into them later in this video, but let's start with the principles. Basically, a sales funnel is an approach you use to get people to buy your product. In other words, it includes your advertising, website, emails, product names, packaging, and everything else that somehow relates to marketing a product. I like to think of sales funnels as roads that lead to buying. This video is about how you get people to take the first step on that road. You need to make the funnels inviting. In other words, people aren't forced to enter your sales funnels, or they're not forced to go on the road. The road has to invite people to take the first step. Three things make that happen. Firstly, the road has to offer something interesting. Some content has to interest the visitors, otherwise they'll leave immediately. Secondly, you have to offer the content in the right format. This is maybe the most overlooked aspect, but it's at least as important as the other two. And lastly, the landing page. Landing page's purpose is to get visitors to take some action. But as we'll see in the examples, it doesn't have to mean a page that asks the visitor's email address. So the first thing is to create interesting content. That means entering the sales funnel has to offer something interesting that rewards entering the funnel. It should require taking the first step and entering the road, but that's it, only the first step. You need to keep the point of entry as low as possible. That means it has to be free, it has to be easy, and it can't expect much from the prospect. On the other hand, it has to be in line with your business goals, so asking for the smallest possible step isn't always the right thing to do. We'll get to that in the examples later in this video. The second point about using the right format has a few aspects to it. It's not just that you need to decide if you create a video, or write an ebook, or use another media to deliver the same content. It's also that the way in which it's delivered has to be right for you and for the visitor. In other words, it has to suit the visitor's preferences and your business goals. That might mean breaking content into smaller pieces so that it's easier to consume. It might mean delivering the content via email instead of letting people download it from your site. It might mean something else, and in the examples we'll look at a few different situations. The third point is the use of landing pages. The name comes from the idea that visitors land on a page, meaning you purposefully lead people to these pages. Usually landing pages ask the visitor to do something very specific, like join an email list or buy a product. But when you're trying to get people on the road or into the sales funnel, landing pages can have other functions. We'll see another use for landing pages in the last example. So, let's take a look at some examples. Let's say you have a home design blog. You have to choose an interest to target and what offer you could make relating to that interest. You should start by looking at what you sell. Let's say you sell a book about modern interior decorating with a small budget. The purpose of interest targeting is getting your potential customers to the start of your sales funnels or to the start of the road. The offer you then make should get them to take the first step on the road. To choose the right interest target, you need to understand your potential customers. You need to know what they are interested in, what are their dreams, what they're afraid of, what problems they have, what they like to do, and so on. Your interest target is somewhere in those answers. You should pick one that's related to your paid product, in this case the book, or it can be a part of the paid product. In other words, it can help them get a part of the results the paid product will help them get. The advantage of giving them a part of the results is that it creates trust in your ability to help them get the full results thereafter. The advantage of targeting a different interest is that you can interest people who are your potential customers but aren't actively looking for the product you sell or the results your product offers. In this case, as your product is a book about modern interior decorating on a budget, one interest you could target would be interior decorating. It would work because many of your potential customers are looking for that information, or at least they'd be interested in it, if you hit them in the head with a free offer relating to it. Next, you need to decide the format for that content. The format could be an ebook, it could be a series of emails, it could be a video, it could be pictures, it could be a series of web pages, it could be something else. You need to think about two things: how your potential customers want to consume that content, and what format suits your business and marketing model. So, what do your prospects prefer? Basically, they just want to get the most out of the content you offer for them. When the topic is so visual, interior decorating, it makes sense to use pictures or videos instead of plain text. But you can use pictures and videos with almost any media format. So next you need to look at your prospects' other preferences. People tend to like videos and think a well-produced video is valuable, and they're likely to enter your sales funnels to see a valuable video. So you could just offer them a video. But simply creating a video about interior decorating might not be the best decision. There are three problems. Firstly, creating a video with lots of graphics that looks professional is demanding and often costly. Secondly, explaining simply something like interior decorating, which has lots of graphics and details, with a video isn't easy, as the viewer cannot set their own pace. And thirdly, a video is usually too different from a book to be the best promotion method for one. Since the topic is so visual and a video is probably not the best option, we're left with using pictures. Still, there are several things you could create. You could write an ebook which has lots of pictures and your potential customers would like it. You could create a series of pictures or picture galleries that showcase different aspects of interior decorating, and your prospects would like that too. You could write a content series which uses pictures to illustrate the points, and your prospects would like that as well. The point is, your potential customers would like almost anything with lots of clear pictures that explain the ideas. And you could add some video content to the mix if you're able to create good-looking videos about your topic. Next, you have to pick the format from the ones that your prospects would like. The ebook has some clear advantages. Its format is the same as your paid offer. People can download it, which feels valuable. People are often quite familiar with the idea of ebooks, and it's relatively easy to create. On the other hand, an ebook isn't really special. There's a chance your potential customers have already seen something very much like it. And another downside is that delivering an ebook doesn't require an email, and even less an email follow-up sequence. Now, I'm not saying your offer should always aim to get people to join your email list, but when it's possible, there are a few advantages. But we'll look at different sales funnels in the next video. Let's take a look at the next example, a series of pictures or picture galleries that showcase different aspects of interior decorating. As it is a series, it justifies asking for an email address. Also, delivering the content people wanted in pieces increases your chances of getting them to open your emails. If they can just download what they wanted, there's a good chance they'll forget who you are before you send them the next email, or they'll unsubscribe right after downloading the content you offered for them. The series of pictures makes sense for several reasons. It justifies asking for an email address. It's very visual. It requires people to stay on your list for at least as long as the series is incomplete, and it's similar enough to the products you're selling. The last example is very similar to the series of pictures. The only advantage of a mostly written content series is the ability to go deeper into the topic and explain more complicated things. But assuming your paid product isn't aimed for people who are looking for almost scientific information about modern interior decorating, your free offer shouldn't go into such details. Rather, it should mimic the depth of information in your book. So, I'd say that a series of pictures or picture galleries about interior decorating delivered via email over a period of time would most likely get your potential customers to enter your sales funnels or to take the first step on the road. But there's one more thing to do, the landing page for this offer. The simplest approach to building an opt-in landing page is to create it just like a sales letter. You talk about all the benefits of the offer you're making, how the beautiful pictures will inspire you and make your home more stylish, how you'll learn many ways how to create cohesive color combinations, and how you'll end up understanding interior decorating on another level. The idea is to focus on the benefits your free offer will create for the reader. It's all about the reader. Don't tell them how or why you did something or what you think about it. Just tell them what they will get. Quite frankly, your visitors are unlikely to be interested in what you've done in your life or why you decided to create the offer you're now offering for them. What they most definitely are interested in is the results your offer can help them achieve. There are no universal rules that would tell you how to build a good landing page, and there's no way I could give detailed instructions in a minute or so, but here's a basic and extremely simple structure you can use to build a decent opt-in landing page. First of all, make sure the header area is clean. Avoid navigation bars, social media links, and everything that isn't about the specific offer you're making on the page. Sometimes it's better to leave even your logo and company name away from the header to keep it clean. Start the content with a headline that does one of two things. Tell them what's the greatest benefit they'll get if they decide to get the content you're offering for them, or find a particularly painful problem they have that your offer will help them solve, and rub that problem to their faces with the headline. Next, write a few paragraphs that explain in more detail why they should accept your offer. Do your best to sound like one of your prospects. That means use the same words and phrases to describe your offer that they would use. After the first few paragraphs, you can add a testimonial. Testimonials give objective proof of your offer's value. Do your best to get testimonials even for a free offer. Next, pick a few of the most valuable things in your offer and turn them into bullet points. Add a picture of the offer if possible next to the bullet points. Place the call to action after the bullet points. A call to action tells the reader exactly what they should do next. In this case, that's joining the email list, but as that doesn't sound very good, you could say something like, type your email into the box and get the interior decorating series for free. Under the call to action is the place for the opt-in form. If you don't have a picture of the offer, you can place the call to action and the opt-in form next to the bullet points. And finally, you could add another testimonial after the opt-in box to reinforce the decision to opt-in. This structure may break one of the common landing page rules. You should try to get the opt-in form, or at least the call to action, to stay above the fold, which means that the reader doesn't have to scroll down to find it. But that's not a very good rule. A better rule is, build the necessary trust and desire for your offer before the call to action. So many people ask you to join an email list that when you see an opt-in box, you feel like they're trying to sell you something. And the moment the reader feels you're selling something for them, they put their mental defenses up. So don't obsess about keeping the page short. Rather, make sure you build enough trust for people to take action. The example is very simple, but it does have the basic landing page elements in place. In the next video, we'll take a close look at how different sales funnels work and how you can make them more effective. But now let's look at another example of leading people into the funnels. Let's say you're a speaker. So the product you sell is your expertise and your ability to pass on that expertise to an audience. You should again start by thinking about your potential customers. This is also a good question to ask when you're thinking about your sales funnels more generally. What do they need to know and believe about me and my product to buy it? As a speaker, you sell your expertise and your ability to pass it on. So your potential customers need to believe three things. Firstly, they need to believe that the topic you're an expert in is valuable for them to understand better. Secondly, they need to believe you are in fact an expert. And lastly, they need to believe you're able to pass on that understanding to an audience. There are several possible ways to achieve those things. For example, writing a book gives you credibility, so people will believe you're an expert. If they read the book, they might believe you can pass on that expertise, and the book may convince them of the value of the information. But expecting all your prospects to read a book isn't realistic, so what you'll actually gain by writing a book is only credibility. That's just one of the three things you need people to believe. Instead, I'd say a video or a video series would work best if you were promoting speaking services. The video could show you giving a speech or a lecture, or it could be a slide presentation with your voice. The point of the video is that it shows exactly what the prospect can expect to get from you as a speaker. An audio recording could also give an idea about it, but it wouldn't be as engaging as a video. On the other hand, if the video's quality were poor, it would undermine your credibility and professional image. In which case an audio recording would create better results. Another downside of a single video is that it doesn't really justify asking for an email address. Breaking the video into pieces or adding more content like an audio recording would do two good things. It would justify delivering the content via email, and it would make you more memorable as you engage the prospect more than once. So a series of videos and possibly audio recordings could create good results if you were selling speaking services or almost any face-to-face personal services. Let's take one more example. There's a pretty common question or belief about online marketing. What if I sell a commodity product offline? Or I can't use online marketing since I don't sell anything online. Well, online marketing will still work if you do it right. Let's say you sell detergent. That stuff you use to clean things with and buy a few times a year from the grocery store. Do you think you couldn't market that effectively online? Or what would you use as a sales funnel? This is one of those examples where building an email list might not be the best idea. Instead, you could offer a content series online without the need to opt in to your email list. Here's what you could do. First, create short tutorials about how to clean all imaginable things, even things where your detergent won't help. What this does is that it attracts people who are looking for information about cleaning. After they get to one of your tutorials, offer them a few links that lead to different tutorials that showcase your detergent. You need to make these tutorials sound interesting. For example, instead of saying how to clean a bathroom, the title could be how to make your bathroom shine in 5 minutes. In other words, the content they originally came to wasn't necessarily about your product, but still you used it to get people to see what your product can do. Each of the following tutorials would then do their best to lead the visitor to yet another tutorial that shows your product in action. So every tutorial works actually as a landing page. Their goal is to lead the visitor to yet another page. The upside of this kind of a sales funnel is that the point of entry is as low as it can get. It can work very well in many situations, but there is a big downside that makes it a poor choice in other situations. The downside is that getting off the road is as easy as it was to step on it. So, those were the three things you need to do to get people into your sales funnels or to take the first step on the road to buying your product. Interesting content, right format, and landing pages that convert. In the next video, we'll look at what makes sales funnels work and how you can make them more effective. If you have any questions about leading people into your sales funnels or about any other conversion point, send me an email. Or if you want to get to your goals faster and want to know if I could help you get there, send me an email or see if any of the services listed below could be a good fit for you.